Oh, Jesus, I just commit every word into your spirit hands. Let your kingdom come. Thank you for how it's been coming already. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God, we love you back so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, there's only one Holy Spirit because the lyrics of the songs are like scriptures that I'm going to read. What Stephen just shared is what I was going to share on quickly. So most of the sermon is done. Amen. Really, because I felt, and there are challenges with regards to being used by God prophetically, and there are also perks. One of the perks is, during the week, you repent for a whole bunch of stuff people will be repenting for on Sunday. Because on Tuesday morning, while spending time with the Lord, I write there in my journal, I say, God, it has to be more about you than me at this stage. It has to become more about you than about how you want to use me. Because I can be very excited and focused and praying and fasting with regards to how God wants to use me for his kingdom. And by accident, that will be on the throne of my life and not Jesus. That's just one example of many stuff, eh? So on Tuesday morning, I'm like, God, it has to become more about you than of me. And then on Tuesday, I've got a significant meeting with two people that are giants in the spirit, I get to ask them advice about stuff, about ministry and my work stuff that I'm not sure how to do because God uses me in very random ways, and then I get to senior randoms to ask them advice, and it's amazing, and they blessed me so much because God uses them also in more blessed mainstream ways, and I, just before they go, so they have to rush off, they've got kids, they've got stuff to do, I'm like, please will you quickly also just pray for me, thank you for the advice, but pray for me. And they pray for me, and the darling lady is so wise and mature in the Holy Spirit that she gives me the word like this. Yes, Marit, I see the sunflower, and you know how a sunflower with all the oil and everything that's in it, you know, the anointing, the oil, everything, it's in it, and it, you know how it goes towards the sun so it can function? I'm like, yes. And she goes, so when the sunflower's not looking at the sun and it's looking at itself, it must rather just turn back to the sun. I'm like, what a gentle and wise rebuke. I'm like, amen. That's such a good word. I started repenting this morning. And I was like, sure, God. One of the reasons I started looking inwards instead of the Lord by accident, I didn't know I was doing this, is because of certain things that he has called me for that I'm really just struggling with. So in my mind, I'm just pursuing how to be obedient to God. But even there, the whole time, we just need to be like, is it still, for me, all about Jesus? And not about how I proclaim Jesus or how I must stand in faith for something to work out so that I could be obedient. So that's the one thing I wanted to quickly share with you, and that is just that sometimes we say we mustn't be so sin conscious, and that's true. It doesn't help the whole time all we focus on is everything we're getting wrong, because then we cannot partner with the Holy Spirit to give the word of encouragement to somebody, to pray for somebody's healing, if you the whole time have to feel bad because the time you didn't pray correctly for healing, or you didn't pray or whatever. That's true. But the flip side is, when we start walking away from believing that the only way our sins go away is through the blood of Jesus, and that means it's repentance. If we start walking away from that by accident, then the enemy is also like, yes, winning. The sunflower is looking at itself and how it needs to save itself. In other words, the downward spiral will just go quicker and quicker. So you guys, there's good news today. Repenting, that's the word that I just felt God must speak of, because it's what I was doing in the week, so I get to share it with you quickly today. Repentance is God's greatest gift to us. It's God's greatest gift. Because the cross is empty, because the tomb is empty, that's why we can repent. Because Jesus overcame anything that would ever separate and become a barrier between us and God. And how do we get reconciled to God? Through the blood of Jesus that reconciles us. How do we get reconciliation through the blood of Jesus? Through repentance. So it's God's greatest gift to us to be reconciled to him. And then also, like Retief was saying, to one another. because even in South Africa, if we go, we must forgive one another. If you don't believe in the Bible, why would you forgive somebody? So that's why Jesus is the answer to our nation. And he's doing mighty things in this nation. He's doing mighty things in this nation. People, there's a Facebook group called I'm Staying. And there's so many Christians on it testifying stories of reconciliation, even speaking about the Lord bringing that reconciliation. And I just see a whole bunch of people, because it's easy to hear my testimonies from you guys, you know, to hear the testimonies that's in my community. But once you start hearing these testimonies of what God has been doing for years, because some of the stories on there is for years, how God has been using different people to bring reconciliation, but through the love and the serving of Jesus and the praise of Jesus. It's just so exciting. So, yeah, so good news today, guys. There's a difference between being sin-focused. You know, you can be like sin-focused and then also you're not focused on reconciling to God because you're just like, oh, everything I get wrong. I'm fearful of what I can get wrong. Oh, I'm critical because I just saw what you did get wrong. Then we are just distracted. But when we say, oh, where did I put my skif getrap? Where did I take a wrong step? But Jesus, how can we rectify that? Because the blood rectifies it. Like, how did I repent? And you just show me a better way. So that's good news, guys. Yeah, repentance is such a gift. And we're going to get to it in the scripture just now. But it was so amazing how we sang it and how Holy Spirit just led Demi, because she didn't know what I was going to preach on today. But that one part said, I confess my hope in the light of your salvation. And it was so interesting seeing that, thinking, but God, that's that one scripture, basically. And it was so cool to see how Holy Spirit helped you to linger on it for quite a while. And then, the anointing of God and that other song that came in when we started singing about how, through it all, our eyes are on you. Because with my sunflower word, encouragement, rebuke, good news for repentance situation, through it all, my eyes became on myself. And that was part of the issue, not figuring out what's going on. And then God, because of his grace and his goodness, he comes to go, my darling, my sweetheart. And I say my darling because in Song of Solomon's 2:10, which I told you last time, I think I shared that scripture with you, like one of the words God calls us is his darling, his beloved. And he says to me, nee, jou frotkind, you naughty, horrible child. No, he goes, my darling, turn to me. I have provided. So hallelujah for God's repentance, that's a gift. Okay, guys, this word is called straight ahead. It was difficult for me because in Afrikaans, I just felt this thing brooding in my heart, which I wanted to share with you today. That's actually linking on to the word I brought on hope 3 or 4 weeks ago. So for me, I was like in Afrikaans, my head, my heart, I just kept on hearing regheid vorentoe. And I was like, how do you say that in English? And my head goes, straightforward. I'm like, no, that's pulling the money from the ATM. It's just a direct translation. And then I realized it's straight ahead is English in my world for regheid vorentoe, straight ahead. This is the word. So let's go to the scripture. And before we go to the scripture, you can start looking for it if you want. It's Exodus 14. We're actually going to read the whole chapter. So if you want to look it up in your Bible or on an app on your phone maybe, Exodus 14. We're going to read through that chapter and then we're going to speak on that word. Quickly want to share just a cool testimony with you. Two Sundays ago, I had the privilege to be in Shofar Tzanin. Now, people, more north than that, than you're in another country. It's really just a few kilometers from like the most northern parts of our country. And never been there before, and I did a show there. And on the Sunday, I went there, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't pray because I had extreme laryngitis. My voice was away, but miraculously, the day before that, my voice held for the whole hour that I had to do a show. And the show was a fundraiser and launch for amazing ministry, rescuing darlings from prostitution. Some of them might have been trafficked, some of them abused since they're 4 or 3 years old, rescuing them from that, discipling them, leading them to Jesus, creating jobs for them, creating a safe house for them. So this awesome thing that, you know, the Lord wants to do, and this lack of bronchitis, laryngitis situation came, and the day before the show, I could speak 3 words and I would cough. My 3 words sounded like this, hello, it's like a, sorry, for 5 minutes and then 3 words. And I'm like, tomorrow is the show, the fundraiser. this launch of God, what God is doing in that community. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, Lord. So the only thing I can think of is I'm just going to pretend everything is fine because I believe it will be fine tomorrow. And you guys, I get there and it's 250 women and they made a lot of effort because it's this group fundraiser situation. And when we did the sound check, the notes didn't come out. And I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. I'm like, Jesus, please, in 5 minutes' time, will you? And we greet everybody, hello, Lakin, you all, also excited, amen, prophesying. And then we did the show, and my voice lost the whole show, and I could do 3 songs also. But after that, laryngitis is now completely, and it's gone again, and I'm in Shofar Tzanin. And in the worship, like, the Holy Spirit shows he wants to do something. I feel it in my heart. And the next moment, the young worship leader just goes, yo, we're just going to continue worshiping. And there was just such a freedom in that place. The guy that brought the word, he's like, it's fine, I'll do 7 minutes at the end. The Holy Spirit wants to do something. And it was just very profound and awesome. And I could clap. I could use my hands to clap because God uses different actions when we worship prophetically, whether it's at your office, whether it's here. And as I was clapping and no voice, I just hear the worship leader going, God wants us to clap because of the rest. The church was quite still with their hands with that. And yeah, my heart is just like, ooh, I can't shout amen, but I can clap. And Holy Spirit starts doing loosening stuff in the spirit there through us clapping. Why I'm just sharing this is all over in our own body, in Shofar, in different parts of the body, Holy Spirit is moving in our nation. There's so much hope. There was so much freedom in that place. I was so in awe and respect. I don't have pastors yet because they planted the cell and it grew and there's potentially pastors coming now, but they just take turns to lead. This group that just grew, but they're just so hungry for God and they do not by accident submit under any system-y type of stuff. They just submit under the Holy Spirit. And my heart was just so excited coming here today, knowing how hungry your heart is and your leaders' hearts are for Holy Spirit. So I just want to say, you guys, God is moving and we are part of His kingdom. We are not on our own. You are not on your own. You are part of God's kingdom and God is moving. And the last thing I quickly want to share before we go to Exodus 14 is, yesterday morning, I hear a voice note from somebody saying that the last year or two have been really tough on their household with regards to finances, quite a few things, but they know God was using that shaking for the roots to go deeper and deeper. And then minutes after that, I'm at a kiddies party, and a friend from years ago says to me, it's been a year or two, and it's going really tough. And I say to her, my friend, you are not on your own. God is doing something the whole time. That was just 2 people for yesterday. I can go on for the last while. So maybe you're at an awesome place. Praise God for that because we need you to encourage the people that are not in an awesome place. But maybe you're in a tough place. I just quickly want to say to you, you are not on your own. You have not missed the plot. Sometimes dying to self so you could live in Jesus, die to self, what we called for, that's tough sometimes. And it's not because you missed it. So I just want to encourage you, God is doing something. God is doing something. I believe in my heart fully there's a turnabout and the season is busy shifting and there's going to be a change coming. And I'm not saying everything's going to be easy. I'm saying there's certain breakthroughs and shifts that are coming and it's on its way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's look at Exodus 14. I hope you can, yes, it's very large. Because you've all got supersonic sight. No, that's a joke. Sorry, it's so small. Let's go. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth. I practiced this yesterday. Between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Just quickly pause there. Why did God say he's going to do something there? So that we can know that he is God. Because for him it's about reconciliation, it's about relationship, it's about knowing him as God. That's his desire. Let's go to verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Now listen to this. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, listen, and his army. So that's like separate. There's a whole big army and there's all the chariots also. And overtook them camping by the sea beside Phi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Okay, guys, let's listen to this. This is amazing. There's hope for us because I sound like this sometimes. It's shocking. But I don't judge them. I just go, yes, Israel, we are shocking. Like, Israel, we as God's children. When I was younger, I'd be just like, what is wrong with the Israelites? And then 2 seconds later, you're like, what is wrong with us, Lord? Because I'm doing the same as them, just in modern day technology. Okay, verse 11. Then they said to Moses, so they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? So God does miracle after miracle. And when there's a situation that requires faith for the next miracle, they answer, so was only grafte for ons daar nie. So toe kom ek hiernatoe getrek het. Were there not graves for us there? Sarcastic going like, you want us to die? And surely we could have skipped this trip. We could have just died there. I was like, hectic, Here. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that the Lord told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Get this, the Lord shall fight for you, and who will hold your peace? Other people, the angels, Holy Spirit. No, it says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So we actually, you and me both, I don't have an answer here, need to go. God, would you teach me, what does it look like to hold on to the peace that I have that's in you? Like, how do I hold on to you with regards to holding on to peace? Because God is peace, it's who he is. It's one of his attributes is peace. But we need to ask him, God, when they're coming up straight behind us and all that's in front of me is a dead wall, a dead end, a T-junction, a big fat Red Sea ocean. How, in that situation, how do I then hold my peace? Not after the breakthrough or in the worship when he's spoken to me. When they're coming straight behind me, the month end is coming, there's no way out. Lord, how do I hold my peace? Because that's part of how the miracle's going to happen, is holding on to your peace. So we need to ask that to God. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Can we quickly go to verse 15? And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Can we quickly pause there? So Moses was in deep distress for obvious reasons, and he was crying out to God. And in this, there is a place where we are supposed to cry out to God when something traumatic happens. we are supposed to verbalize it and voice to our close people and to the Lord, saying, this is what happened. I am overwhelmed. Because guys, if I break, I will not in Jesus' name. But if I, how do we speak life and give this an example? If I break my arm, which will not happen, I mean, it's not a big deal. You go to the doctor, they put on a cast, and it just, it heals perfectly. It's straight. It's awesome, hey? But if an arm breaks, and number one, I don't acknowledge it's broken, how can I get to a doctor and quickly get a cast and 6 weeks later be sorted out? So it's really important that we realize, yes, we are to be positive and speak life and trust in God, but there's a place where when something happens that's not cool, that overwhelms us, the enemy wants us to go, no, 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 be bold, just speak life. No, no, don't tell somebody that this happened. Don't tell somebody you're super disappointed and your heart is sore, whatever. You know, just ignore that ana so that it can just become more gross. Don't bring the ana into the light so you can clean up and put on a plaster and put on some ointment. So there's a place, yes, we are positive, we speak life, but there's also a place where if I'm not positive in speaking life, saying, I feel like I'm going to die, I know I'm not because Jesus is good, but right now this is how I feel, then my friend can pray for me. Then they can encourage me. They can say, tell me what's going on. Okay, cool, I hear you. Let's ask Holy Spirit what's the answer. So there is that place. So let's go see here again. So Moses is crying out to God, and God doesn't go, shame, I hear you. What are we going to do? Because he's God. He didn't say that. Well, his response to Moses was, sorry. You know how this works. So every time there's a challenge, it's so that I can be glorified, so that people can know me because they get to see who I am. And now instead of going, what are we to do? You're just going, and God is saying to him, like, sorry, but why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. So, yes, we are to cry out to God. We are supposed to ugly cry and say, this is what's happening. But there are places in our life, sometimes when the enemy is right here, and you know that God has said to walk this route, and there's a wall or a T or a zero in the bank account, and it's 2 days before after orders. Pull off orders. What's that word, people? Debit orders. Thank you. And in that moment, yes, cry to God, but learn from Scripture. Go, God, what's the next step? What do we do? What's the instruction? I wait on you. Speak to me. So God literally, he wasn't like, shame, Moses. I understand why you're crying, but don't worry. I've got a plan. Because God, Moses was mature by then, this stage. He says to him, why are you crying to me? And then he gives them the instruction. So how cool is it that even Moses, who's super wise, who super saw miracle after miracle, at a stage got overwhelmed, and instead of going, Holy Spirit, what's up next? He just went, I'm going to crack now. How cool is it? How amazing and encouraging that God didn't go, oh, I'm disappointed, or you should have known better. He just goes, no, man, why are you crying to me? Why don't you ask me what's next? We're partnering. I'm leading you as you lead them. So we are partnering with God. And the whole time God wants to give us instruction. He wants to show us the way out. And many times the way out is just keeping straight ahead. Forward, forward, forward. But it depends on what Holy Spirit says. So that's why it's so significant for me when he said, why do you cry to me? And then he gave instruction. Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod. And that's how they're going to stretch. Let's go to verse 19. Because we've read up until verse 18, verse 19. I think it's the next slide. Second from the top. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. So he was in front, and he moved and he went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. This it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other at all that night. So Moses is freaking, the people are freaking out, going like, do you want like desert graves instead of Egyptian graves? Moses is responding by going, oh, I'm cracking, I don't know what to do. And God's response is, no man, don't cry, here's the instruction. And as the instruction came, God came and he brought the provision. The cloud shifted to the back, and it was suddenly dark to the one camp and light for the other. and they couldn't come near to them all that night. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea and on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and to their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land and in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and to their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. This Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Guys, although we stopped once or twice, we actually rushed through this. So I want to encourage you, if you want to, go tonight and slowly go through Exodus 14 and say to God, God, your word is alive. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's instructions that you want to give me. Is there certain things that I maybe didn't even hear today that I can practically right now use in this season of my life? And what I want to share, what God has been speaking to me four different occasions the last 2 weeks, different people, we had the same conversation came up over and over, that sometimes when God has instructed you to do something, whether it's by faith or whether it's a job that you've been doing many years, or maybe God tells you something random to do by faith, oftentimes there will be a dead end. There will be a wall, an ocean for them. It was an ocean. And when you look behind you, all you can see is the trouble coming closer. And then the answer is straight ahead, go straight ahead. Because the answer for the Israelites were to, by faith, go straight ahead. And when the ocean comes, all he had to do was go, God, what next? Because you didn't tell me to go to the left or the right, so I didn't. But sometimes we get nervous and we take a right, we take a left. But it was just a short, we just missed that breakthrough that was on its way. We just missed the miracle that was going to come. And God still loves you, and his grace is still upon your life. But what I'm saying is there's certain times in our lives where there's a dead end, and the answer is, reguit vorentoe, straight ahead. Unless Holy Spirit tells you to go left or right. Just go straight ahead and go, God, what's the instruction? What do you want me to do? Do I pray? Do I fast? Do I do nothing and wait on you? Because if the Israelites have used their wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the world says, enemy at my back, ocean in the front, take a left, go left or right. If they had gone to the right, the enemy would have crushed them. If they had gone to the left, the enemy would have from behind got them and crushed them. For them, the answer was by faith, just to go straight forward. And that's why it's so important, our relationship with Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important, our relationship, not just with the head of the body, but with the body. Because the body helps us in those times when I go like, friend, God has called me for this and this, and this is what's going on with my work, and I'm not sure how now forward because it doesn't make sense in the natural, but I know what Holy Spirit said. Then my friend who also loves me, who also is practicing hearing God's voice, can say to me, let me pray with you. And then they can say to me, sure, Mariette, my brain says nothing makes sense, but my heart is full of peace. You just go forward. And with two or three, you know, witnesses feeling the same thing, saying, yes, I've got complete peace, just keep on going. It becomes so much easier for us to go, keep on going straight forward when God calls us to do something by faith. Sometimes you're going to feel go straight forward and Holy Spirit says, short left. Even then, if you're not sure if you're hearing correctly, go to the wisdom and the counsel of many. Go to counsel. Go to somebody that you know loves Jesus and hears his voice, because we see the fruit of people like loving and pursuing Jesus. And then they can pray with you and go, yes, everything makes sense to go forward. But when I prayed, I just felt left. The Lord didn't even pray out. He didn't even like go on. I just heard the word left. So that's why it's so important for us to keep on fighting for our relationship with the head of the body and fighting for our relationship with the body. Because there's this fight the whole time, wanting to get us disconnected, offended, disappointed, any word you want to put in there, from the body and also from the head. But hallelujah for God's grace and goodness with regards to bringing reconciliation, not just with the head, but the whole time with the body. We must just keep our hearts soft. That's it. God does it. Let's go to the following. I just want to share a few quick scriptures with you also. We've got 1 minute left, then my time is going to go off. So just being transparent here. It's good when you preach. It's a joke. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So we're still on the page of, see, you see I didn't lie. So we're going to go, you can go to, it's the next scripture, there we go, Hebrews 12. So still on the page of, you're maybe in a tough time, you're not sure what's going forward, like how to, maybe you've lost hope, maybe you've gained hope and 2 seconds later it's gone again. I've done that. Once I was super disappointed in an area and I went, God, I believe you, but if you don't encourage me, I cannot keep on believing you. Because my head believes, but this feels empty, the rest of me. So I'm choosing to believe, but will you encourage me? And in that week at a wedding, two strangers opposite me that don't know me start prophesying over me in the area that I was asking for encouragement. I was so excited. And on the Monday, I was like, God, I know you just gave me a lot of encouragement, but I'm just going to be honest. It's gone again. Would you encourage me again? And that same week, somebody gave me a word of knowledge again. So you guys, God says we don't have because we don't ask. So with regards to hope and encouragement, he's the ultimate cheerleader. He's the ultimate encourager. I've never met anybody that encourages like God. And we can encourage. God wants to encourage you. And then through you, he wants to encourage the people sitting here, whether you know them or not. The people at the Tiller Checkers, whether you know them or not. God wants to encourage you, and then he wants to encourage through you. So let's look at what Hebrews 12 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, get this, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So sometimes when we are a little bit weary or faint-hearted, the Word of God says, consider Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Think about Jesus. Just go, Jesus. Jesus, I'm weary, I'm faint-hearted, but your Word says that if I consider you, if I look at you and how you endured the rejection, because sometimes when I'm rejected and something happens that's really not nice, I just go, wow. But Jesus, his besties, after long walking a road with them, while laying down his life for them, ran away. Okay, I'm being like Jesus, a little bit rejected, but it's okay. Because doesn't even compare to him. That's just one example. But all I'm saying is, so that we will not grow weary or faint-hearted, or when we are, let's look to Jesus. And this is just such an encouraging scripture where the Lord just says, run it with endurance, keep your eyes on Jesus and consider him. That is how you're going to get to the end. If you keep your eyes on the people next to you and yourself, no. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, sunflower, oh, sun. Next scripture. The following slide. We can skip the ones also. John, that was also great. Matthew 28:20 says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We know that God is with us, but it's so important that we remind ourselves and one another. That's what his word says. God cannot go against his word. He cannot. God says, be sure of this. I am with you always. So the Israelites, you, me, whoever, whether it's a wall or ocean, a dead end, and whether the enemy is 3 months away or one day away, God says, I am with you. Look to Jesus. He is the answer. Ask Holy Spirit, what's the instruction? What do we do? We can go to the John, the next scripture. It was the John 1. 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You guys, God literally, one day I was crying profusely, as you notice from my testimonies, I cry. I was in my early 20s, there was something, rejection with regards to family for the 4 millionth time. And I just, I broke down and I sat crying and I had took the word of God with me. And you know that small voice going, yes, but now what is the word going to say about what this person has done for the millionth time? And just, you can, it's not a sin if, like, the enemy speaks to you. It's a sin if we listen to him. So you can just ignore it and go, I hear you, but I'm just going to believe anyway. So while the tears are like this, I open up my Bible, but, like, I'm going to read now, or, like, I'm just, like, working through some this situation in my head, replaying it. And as I open up my Bible, the tears going, this is the first words I read, let not your heart be troubled. The Afrikaans Bible I was reading at that stage actually said, like, Muniart seriously, something like that, like, directly. And I was like, God is alive. God's word is him. God's word is, the word is Jesus made manifest. Jesus is alive, so the word is alive. So the Holy Spirit's alive. So if you're crying and God wants to go, why are you crying? Ask for instruction, Moses. God will say that. But if you are crying and God wants to say to you, don't cry, I'm preparing a place for you, and when I'm done, I'm going to get you. Then he does that also. So you guys, it's important that we know this word and that we give it to one another, because here and there I have the privilege to pray with people, to give their lives back to Jesus, and I cannot change the hectic circumstances that some of them are in. Sometimes I can help them with a new job, and sometimes I can't. But then I can say to them, guess what, my sister, guess what, my friend, this is not it. Ons kuier net hier. We are just visiting earth. We are not from this place. We are not for this place. This is not our home. This is not our end destination. Jesus said in his word, he's preparing a room for you and he's coming back to fetch you. We need to encourage ourselves and one another with the word. Last scripture. The last slide. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he promised is faithful. We were just singing over and over, I confess my hope in the light of your salvation. And he saw the opdrag, the instruction is, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching, as time goes by, all the more we must just encourage one another and hold on to the confession of our hope. And you know what? Sometimes somebody has no more hope. And then what you and I can do is we can have hope for them. I can confess hope over them and breathe life into their hope. You know what? Next week, tomorrow, your hope is very little. And somebody else can say, it's okay, my friend, I've got hope for you. I don't care whether you give up on the things of God or not. I'm not going to give up. And that can literally resurrect the hope of God in you just like that, because hope is contagious. Praise God. We can stand as we're going to end now and pray with one another. Did I switch it off? It's still on. We're just going to give 5 minutes. If there's an area in your life, or maybe it's something very you're in now, and maybe it's an area that you sometimes you visit where you feel like it's a dead end in front of you, you're not sure how to go forward, but you know God has told you to do this, And maybe it feels like the enemy is right behind you, and maybe you're in a season where, you know, in a week where it feels like, no, yes, Ian built for it. There's like one, you know, like a kilometer between you and the enemy. Either way, I want you, if you're comfortable, to turn to the person that you came with today. And if you don't want to do that, you're so fine to speak with God about this now. Just to say out, we just, no, not 5 minutes. It's going to be 2 minutes. You just out loud, you don't have to go into details, because then we're going to do details and not pray for each other by accident. But in small group or after church, we can go for gold with details, because God is a detail God. So you can now just say to that person, just think about it, go, what's that area in my life where all the time, or just sometimes, doesn't matter, it feels like a dead end. I can't see the path forward. I can't reverse. I can't. It's like a rock in a hard place. It's either it's the enemy gets you, the situation's going to break you, or you have to turn away from God, because you have to like disobey God because there's a wall, versus going, Lord, I'm not going to turn from you and from this instructions that you've given me. And if I look to my back, I see the enemy. If I look to the front, I cannot see a way. But I'm not going to look to the front. I'm not going to look to the back. I'm going to look up right now. I'm looking to you, God. And I await your instruction, your encouragement, your tender love, your mercy. But I want your instructions, because I'm not turning away. I'm not going to go to the right. I'm not going to go to the left. I'm not going to go back. I don't have that option, because I've got revelation now. But looking to the front, I just see a wall, I see water. But God, I'm looking up and I'm waiting for instruction while I keep on walking. And until you tell me go left or right, I'm not going to turn. I'm just going forward. So what's that area in your life where you maybe are in that situation? I want you to turn to that person and just for 30 seconds tell them, if you're comfortable, otherwise you can just speak to God. But we really want to pray over each other today, because there's power in our words and power into bringing into the light the things that we carry, so that people can carry it with us. So you're going to just say to them, this is my situation, pray for me. And then they're going to go, cool, this is my situation, now you pray for me. Does that make sense? Okay, you've got 2 minutes, you can go. You're sharing right now, just with somebody if you're comfortable. Otherwise, you can go on your own. What is the area where you feel like there's a wall in front of you, but turning around isn't an option either? You're going to share that area, they're going to pray for you, and then vice versa. If you don't have answers for the person, please don't make any up. Just encourage them. Just speak hope and life over them. In Jesus' mighty name.
just quickly going to end off, but you go on, please. Do not stop if the Holy Spirit is still ministering and working in somebody's heart. Please continue praying. Maria said it's a beautiful God is into the detail. So go into the detail. Dissect what needs to be dissected. Bring up what needs to be brought up. And do not leave this place if you're not encouraged. Thank you, Maria. What a powerful word to me personally, but I believe to our church community as well. So thank you. I'm going to end off in prayer. Please grab some coffee. Give them your hand and Rinda Fedrik. You'll still see them in the shops and see them around, but give them a Fedrik. And then, enjoy your week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Maria. Thank you, Lord, that she will be a carrier of hope because hope lives inside of her, and hope of Christ paid the perfect price for her. Bless her, Lord. Encourage her. Give to her as she's given unto us. Thank you, Lord, for the deep work this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be a people that go straight ahead as you call us, unless you say anything else. Thank you, Lord, that you will keep on ministering through your Spirit into every family, into every home, and those that are not here today that couldn't make it, minister to them, Lord. Minister to them. Minister to them where they need to be refreshed, where they need fresh hope. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. You're a good God. You're sovereign. You're holy. You're just. And you're in control. We submit and surrender our lives in this church community and all of its people again to you this week. And just declare simply, Papa, have your way. Have your way. Have your mighty way. The battle is yours. The victory is ours. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.